You are listening to audio from Riverside Church. If you would like to check out more resources, please visit riverside.church.
Good morning, Riversiders. Welcome to our online Sunday video, I guess. My name's Keith. I'm one of the leaders around our church. And this morning, we're going to kind of do a special little message. We've been in the middle of a sermon series, which we'll be going through the book of Hebrews. And actually, next week, I plan on picking that back up, even if we're just on video here. But this morning, I want to take a break and do something different from Hebrews. You see, last Lent, a year ago, we went through a very short sermon series on the names of God, the different names that God has used to describe himself in the Bible. And one name that we did not hit back then last year, that I wanted to hit this morning, is Jehovah Shalom. God is peace. This morning I want to talk about peace, because if you think about our world right now, there's a lot of tension and probably not a lot of peace. There's social distancing. And as we're separated from each other, and as we're separated in distance from each other, it brings tension, it brings longing, it brings a loss. There's job losses going on, there's hours being cut back, the stock market's not doing the greatest, and people are losing resources. And even beyond just coronavirus, I think about like broader things in our world, like our military. Look at all the places around the world that our military is deployed to, and all the tension that comes because of the world where militaries are used and countries are not at peace. I actually think about personally what this fall is going to look like. Can you imagine what our election, this next election cycle is going to look like this fall when President Trump runs against whoever the Democratic nominee will be? That is not going to be a very peaceful season this fall. And then I think about the poverty in our world, the poverty in our community, the oppression, and people who are probably most affected by this pandemic and the response to it. But even beyond just that, I think about my own life, my own fears that I deal with, my own anxieties in terms of what's going on in my life. So I think about the world today, and I think about my life, and I think about the reality is true peace here on earth is not yet a reality, at least not for me. Maybe it is for you, but not for me. And the little peace that we do tend to experience here on earth, it seems fragile at best and usually pretty fleeting. And yet the Bible says there is a way to peace, where peace can be a very real reality. And the word that is used in the Bible to describe this is shalom. And God's name at one point in the scriptures is Jehovah Shalom or Yahweh Shalom, or literally, I am peace. I am peace, God says, his name is. And this time his name is given to him is actually found in Judges chapter 6. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up there, Judges chapter 6. And in this chapter, God's name is Jehovah Shalom, meaning I am peace. Now, because we're coming to the book of Judges, I want to give some quick background in terms of what has led up to this point so far in Israel's history. Israel had been in slavery in Egypt, but then God delivered them. So God has delivered them from slavery. And then as they're in the desert, God provides for them in the desert. And then after that, he gives them the promised land. And so you would think after that kind of experience, things would be pretty good. Right? Things would be pretty peaceful. God delivers them from slavery. God provides from in the desert with bread from heaven by parting the Red Seas and delivering them from their enemies. And then God brings them into the land flourishing with milk and honey. Things should be going great, but there's not peace among the people. In fact, life looked anything but peaceful. That's the context of Judges chapter 6. It kind of parallels the way our world is today, right? In our experiences today, God has provided for us in so many ways, and yet we still lack peace. And that's a tension that we now pick back up in Judges chapter 6, in the midst of a story of rebellion and hardship and very little peace. Judges chapter 6, verse 1. So the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. And so the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. The Midianites were so cruel that the Israelites made a hiding place for themselves in the mountains, in the caves, and the strongholds. That's pretty bad, friends. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, marauders from Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east would attack Israel, camping in the land and destroying crops as far away as Gaza. They left the Israelites with nothing to eat, taking all the sheep, the goats, the cattle, and the donkeys. And they stayed until the land was stripped bare. So Israel was reduced to starvation by the Midianites. And then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. So that's not a very pretty picture, is it? I mean, God's people, Israel, they plant their crops. God would provide an abundance, but before they could harvest the fields, the Midianites, the Amalekites would bring upon them devastation. Devastation. But then in verse 6, they cried out to God. They cried out to the Lord. And in verse 8, we see that the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites to remind them how God has brought them up out of slavery once in the past from Egypt. So God is reminding them how he's rescued them in the past from oppression and gave them the promised land. This prophet then reminds Israel in verse 10 how they have not obeyed God's commands and how they have not maintained their calling to be faithful and to follow God. He points out, we've not been faithful. But God is good and God is loving and God is patient and God is kind. So he decides he's going to deliver his people yet again. Once again, God will move and God will deliver. And when God typically works in human affairs, he usually seeks a person or a people through whom he will work through. In this case, God chooses a person named Gideon. We see this calling in verse 11, where the angel of the Lord sat under an oak tree near a guy named Gideon, who was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press. So he's threshing wheat in a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. So think about this. God chooses a guy named Gideon. He's a farm worker. He's a farmhand. He's a guy working the field, and he's a guy working the grain. And not only that, he's in a wine press. It should be made for wine, for making wine, making a drink of enjoyment, a drink of community, a drink of celebration, right? There's none of that going on. She's making grain. I mean, they're making bread now. They're repurposing their manufacturing just to make things to survive. And God meets Gideon there. In the midst of hardship, in the midst of danger, in the midst of hiding, in the midst of hurt, God meets Gideon. What we're going to see in this text is very interesting dialogue between Gideon and this angel messenger. Very interesting dialogue. Verse 12, the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon and said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." It's pretty cool, right? I mean, imagine someone shows up, "Keith, you're a mighty hero, the Lord is with you." But then look at Gideon's response. I don't see it. He says, "If the Lord is with us, why is all this happening to us?" And by the way, where are the miracles that our ancestors told us about? I mean, we've heard this whole thing. The Lord brought us out of Egypt. But now it seems like the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. We actually see this kind of questioning a lot in Scripture from people. I mean, Gideon asks right away, if God is for his people, then why are the Midianites able to pillage and plunder our fields and our people? God, if you're real, why is all this happening? God, if you're real, why am I making bread in a wine press and I'm in hiding? God, if you're real, God, if you're real, God, what's going on? But we're going to see it's not that God's heart is lacking. It's not that God is weak. It's not that God is removed. It's not, but Gideon is still free to ask these questions. God, if you are for us, why is all this hardship happening? First question is that. But then there's a second question Gideon asks. He says, God, where are the miracles? Where are all the miracles? I've heard of all these things you've done in our past. Where are they now? I mean, he remembers, God, you've delivered us from slavery in Egypt. And yes, you parted the Red Sea. And yes, you brought manna down from heaven to provide for us and water from a rock in the desert. And you provided the promised land flowing with milk and honey. I've heard all these stories. But where are you now? Where are you now with job loss? Where are you now with lack of provision? Where are you now with oppression? Where are you now with enemies coming in and destroying things? I don't know about you right now, friends, but I kind of ask these questions at times too. Why is there so much hardship? And not just with coronavirus, but certainly with coronavirus in our world. Why all the hardship? And why don't we see more miracles? Those questions certainly come to mind to me in times like this, and I'm a pastor. And maybe you're asking similar kind of questions, like why am I not experiencing God's provision or his presence in a tangible way as much right now? God, where is your provision and your presence right now in my life? But what we're going to see in this story as it continues to unfold is that God's name and God's character and God's presence, Jehovah Shalom, Yahweh Shalom, should give us a wonderful peace in the midst of that and good news in the midst of that. And God has this desire to reveal himself to us in every season, especially the hard seasons of our lives. But Gideon asks these questions to God. He's okay with it, I think. God is okay with us asking these kind of questions. But it's interesting, God does not answer him directly. He asks the questions, he does not get a direct answer. Instead, God tells Gideon to go do something about it. Once you go do something about it, Gideon. Verse 14, then the Lord turned to him and said, go. Thanks for all the questions, but I want you to go with the strength that you have, and I want you to rescue Israel from the Midianites, and I am sending you. And friends, I find that encouraging and exciting and challenging. I mean, God used Gideon, the same guy who's questioning God's provision, the same one who's questioning God's presence. God uses him to be the deliverer through whom God will work through. Isn't that awesome? God uses Midian in the midst of questioning. He tells him to go with the strength that he has and the strength that he will be given. And friends, I'm telling you right now, as the church, we are called with the same affirmation by God today. God calls us a Riverside in the midst of questions, in the midst of doubts, in the midst of uncertainties, in the midst of coronavirus, to be his hands and feet, his agents of peace. He calls us to go with the strength he's given us, even in the midst of our questioning and our doubts. To be good news to our neighbors, to our coworkers, to our city and beyond. To be agents of restoration, of rescue, and ultimately to be bringers of peace, to be the people of Shalom. So pretty neat calling that God gives Gideon in the midst of his questions. What's interesting is that at this point, Gideon tries a second attempt to get out of this calling from God. Gideon doesn't question God's presence now. He doesn't question God's power now, but he does question his own suitability for this task. And these questions seem a little bit more innocent and more humble. Verse 15, but Lord, Gideon replies, how can I rescue Israel? How can you use me? My clan is the weakest of the whole tribe. And I am the least in my entire family. Who am I that you would use me? Does that sound familiar for any of you? Do you ever ask God those kind of questions? Can you really use me, God? I'm just young. I'm just a student. Or I'm just a day laborer. I'm not even that educated, or I'm not even that strong, or I'm not even that. What are questions you ask? Gideon asks those questions. God, who am I? I'm the least in all my family, he says. What I love is that God uses us, no matter where we're at. He uses us. Look how he responds in a reassuring yet firm way. Verse 16. And the Lord says to Gideon, in the midst of all that doubt, I will be with you. I'll be with you. Beautiful. And I will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. Pretty powerful promise from God. So God sends Gideon in the midst of his doubts about God, in the midst of his doubts about himself, God sends Gideon after reassuring him that he will be with him. God will be with him. And God will give him the power to accomplish this mission. Friends, what a beautiful promise. But even then, that's still not enough for Gideon. So Gideon requests a sign from God. And we see that unfold in verses 17 through 21. You know, Gideon's like, God, I'm not sure if I'm talking to you or if I'm talking to the wall. So I need one more sign. And in response, the messenger of God actually gives him one more sign. Do you see how God is faithful and God's working with Gideon? God is just saying, all right, fine, I'll give you another sign. And then after that sign in verse 22, when Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he realized, I better stop playing games here. He goes, oh, sovereign Lord, I'm doomed. I'm doomed. I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. That is so much like me, friends. God, give me a sign. God, give me a sign. I want a sign from God. I want an experience from God. And yet, at times I find myself thinking, I'm not sure I really want to hear from God. I can swing back and forth in my thinking, oh, God's amazing, to, oh, I'm nothing, or to, I'm doomed. I mean, just like Gideon, my faith can be all over the place. I can be all over the place, especially in times that are hard. Now, friends, I don't know if God speaks to you like he spoke to Gideon in such a dramatic manner. I mean, Gideon responds in a very dramatic manner because God's speaking in a very dramatic manner. He might, but he doesn't always for me. But he does give us continual evidence of his presence and continual interaction with us through his Holy Spirit living in us. He still speaks to us today through his living word, the scriptures, through his body and his community called the church, the body of Christ, the hands and feet of Jesus. But here's the deal. For many of us, when we see these signs, when we hear from the Lord, or we get these promptings from the Spirit, we simply just ignore them, or we question them, or we push back on them. But friends, once Gideon finally realizes how mighty, how powerful God is, his response is he's changed. His response is even this holy fear. See, Gideon realizes God's calling him to go. And it's with that promise that God is going to strengthen him in the process. And he realizes, oh no, I need to take this more seriously. In verse 23, God says it'll be hard, but that Gideon will be fine. And so, in response to God, Gideon puts a stake in the ground. So he'll never forget God's promise. God says you'll be fine. And in verse 24, he puts a stake in the ground so he'll never forget God's promise. Gideon built an altar to the Lord there. Gideon built an altar to the Lord, a reminder. And he named it Yahweh Shalom, which means the Lord is peace. Yahweh, Jehovah, means I am. And Shalom, Yahweh Shalom, I am peace. Now, this word Shalom is one of the most significant words in the entire Bible. It's such a rich word that it can be sometimes translated to mean a few different things. Sometimes it's translated to mean wholeness or a sense of completeness. It's sometimes used to communicate the sense of being finished. It can mean perfect. A philosopher, Cornelius Plantinga, he explains shalom like this. He says this, in the Bible, shalom means universal flourishing, wholeness, and delight. A rich state of affairs in which natural needs are satisfied and natural gifts fruitfully employed. A state of affairs that inspires joyful wonder as its creator and savior opens doors and welcomes the creatures in whom he delights. Isn't that beautiful? You see, shalom, I mean, biblical peace, it's a lot more than just the absence of conflict and religious cliches. It's about harmony and flourishing and wholeness and delight. It's a rich word. It expresses our deepest need and desires of our heart. It expresses the contentment we all long for and a freedom from guilt and satisfaction with life itself. And not just for us, but for those around us, especially for those of around us. Not just shalom for me, but shalom for the poor, shalom for the oppressed, shalom for the sick. And God, and Gideon uses this word as a name for God, Yahweh Shalom. Which then brings me back to Gideon's original questions then. God, if you're for Israel, why is there all this affliction? And God, if you're real and powerful, why don't we see the miracles of the day that we've heard about in the past? Things still look bad for Gideon, but he met with God. In the midst of that, he names God Yahweh Shalom. The questions haven't been addressed. He's not seen the actual deliverance yet, but he's met with God. He's met with God. And friends, that's really the answer to the questions. It's not a nice, neat, tidy answer. It's just the promise of God. You see, the people of Israel thought they would get peace once they were delivered from Egypt. They expected peace once they were delivered from Egypt. It didn't happen. They expected peace would come finally when they got into the promised land. It didn't happen. They still were experiencing the kind of peace they were looking for. So they turned to other things. They turned to false gods. That's what verse 1 said in chapter 6. They kept looking for peace in all the wrong places. And friends, we do this as well, right? We make the same mistake when we're empty inside and when we're struggling with our own circumstances. We often think, well, I'll have peace if only I had this. And we chase after so many different things. We often believe that peace will come if some outward life circumstance will change. We can find ourselves a lot of times like Gideon was. God, if you're with me, why is my life such a mess? God, why are things not in their right place? But the key here is that like Gideon, God calls us to find peace in him, in the midst of life. Remember, Gideon's still in the midst of the wine press. He's still in the midst of hiding. He's still in the midst of oppression. Yet, he met with God. In the midst of that, in the midst of life, he experienced Yahweh Shalom, God is peace. He's the true key to finding everlasting peace in this world and life to come. It's to know God and to actively pursue God in all seasons of life and live according to his purposes and according to his plans. And friends, in time like this, we read a passage like this, it causes us to ask questions of ourselves and of our church community and beyond, right? What are we pursuing to bring us peace? There are people right now who are running towards addictions and substances to try to bring them peace. Other people are running towards entertainment, just trying to numb themselves and distract themselves from all the stuff going on around them. Some people are just stockpiling, hoarding things, thinking, well, I can make peace for myself if I just make sure I have enough for me and my own. Maybe just check out. You bury your head in the sand. Nothing's going on. Nothing's wrong. Nothing's bad. Maybe you get angry. Maybe you run to religion instead of Jesus. I've heard so many cliche religious sayings going on right now with the coronavirus, and honestly, I hear them and I kind of go, I'm not experiencing that religious cliche. But friends, I'm telling you, in the midst of all of this, we can find peace. That's what Gideon, in the midst of all the stuff they were going through, massive hardship. Something we're not yet experiencing here in America, the stuff they were experiencing. He found peace because he interacted with God. He met with God. And friends, we can find the same peace when we're actively following Jesus, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of our calling, in the midst of quarantines, in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of however hard this gets. Friends, the reality is this. Do we trust ourselves or do we trust God when it comes to peace? Are we going to trust ourselves to manufacture some sense of peace? Or do we trust in Jesus to be our giver of peace? He is peace. His name is peace. I love how the New Testament says it this way, Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice, because sometimes it's hard to rejoice, isn't it? He says rejoice. Well, let me say it again. I know it's hard. Rejoice! And let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Riverside, the Lord is near. And do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation. Think about this. In every situation, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests for God to God. And the peace of God. And the shalom of God. This is beautiful. Let me just talk about the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. How can in the midst of all this you be peaceful? Well, the peace of God transcends all understanding. And it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you want that? I want that. You see, this kind of active peace is available from Jesus. This is the kind of peace that can help us persevere through hard times, through stressful times. And yes, through seasons of plenty, but also through seasons of want. But the key here is we do have a role to play, though. Philippians says, rejoice. Philippians says, present your requests to God. Interact with God, and then his peace will take over. But we have a role to play. We have a role to respond to all this, my friends. Friends, do we commit all situations, the good and the bad, to God? Do we pray during the good times and the hard times? What is your life like right now as you're interacting with God? What is our life as a church? How are we interacting with God as we're separated through this thing called social distancing that that our government has said is a smart thing to do and that I agree with. I mean, I agree with the social distancing call, yet what does this look like? I mean, we're not together. There's just this loss of community, this loss of peace. So how's your devotional life? And I just want to encourage you, friends, one way that we are doing this as a church, we've been doing this for over 6 months, and now in a time like this, I'm going through the Gospel of John this season of Lent. A lot of us in our church are using this devotional. It's available online as well. What's your devotional life? Are you pursuing God? Are you being with the God of peace? Or are you just kind of so hunkered down and numbing yourself with YouTube and Netflix and whatever? Or just with fear, you're not pursuing God. I encourage you, if you don't have one of these, let me know. I'll drive it to your house and leave it on your doorstep. I will. It's so important that we have a devotional life, friends, to meet with the God of peace. And remember, this is a community thing. When Gideon realized that God is peace, that God is shalom, it was the midst of him interacting with the community of people. He's part of the people of God, and he's being told to go talk to the people of God. This is the same for us as a church. Our church family is to be seeking God together as our peace. We do this together. He's the God of shalom, and we're the community of shalom. And we can bring peace to each other through prayer, through service. And yes, when we sit together in flesh in the heart, and we can all sit together right now quietly, be it on the phone, be it online, be it through praying for each other, be it through serving one another. God can use each of us as the church to bring peace in both the good times and the hard times. But this is an active pursuit that we then live out as the people of God, as the people of peace, as the people of shalom. And then, by the way, this should overflow in how we interact with the rest of the world, friends. Gideon meets with the God of peace. Gideon meets with God. He's then given a message and a calling to bring that peace to others. And we're called to do the same things, my friend, as people of peace. We're called to do the same thing right now. We should be the people of peace in the midst of a world that is devastated and fearful and scared. I'm going to close by reading one more verse. I love this verse. As Jesus is wrapping up his earthly ministry, I mean, crap's about the fan for his disciples, right? The one they've been following is about to be killed. He's wrapping up his earthly ministry, about to be killed. And he makes this statement. I'm leaving you. I'm leaving you. I can imagine. Jesus, it's been 3 years. We've given up everything to follow you. We've given up our homes. We've given up our friends. We've been following you, and now you're leaving us? He says, I'm leaving you with a gift, though. Leave you the gift. We know he's going to send the Spirit. He's going to spend his presence, but I'm leaving you with a gift, a peace of mind and a peace of heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So do not be troubled and do not be afraid. Friends, Christ offers us a gift far greater than anything you can find in the world. He alone is the owner and the giver of peace. He alone can bring true shalom. If you're watching this right now, you might not know Jesus. You might be thinking you knew Jesus. You might be more religious Christian. You might have been part of the church for years, but you don't know Jesus. You can know Jesus, the Prince of Peace. You can talk to him right now. And maybe you know him, but you've been coasting and you've been drifting or you've been in hiding. Maybe you're just so anxious. Friends, the Prince of Peace, Yahweh Shalom, he loves you. He'll meet with you. He says, don't be troubled. There's so much anxiety in our world right now. And among the people of God, I get it. I mean, Gideon was anxious to the point of hiding. Gideon was anxious to the point of, I don't want to do this. And God still met with him. So friends, I want to just end by reading this passage one more time. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind, peace of heart. And the peace that I, Jesus, am giving to his people, the disciples, it's a gift the world cannot give. So as you go through all of this, don't be troubled or afraid. We typically celebrate Communion each week as a church on Sunday mornings. And honestly, that's one thing I'm really missing this Sunday morning together. I just love after we look at the Word of God, coming together as a church to celebrate communion. It's just something beautiful about people who are struggling in different places saying, you know what, we're all in different places and there's ups and there's downs, but together as one body, we come to the table and we break bread and we come and we drink from the cup together and we celebrate his body and his blood broken for us. He's the bringer of peace because he goes through the hardship. I love the community we get to celebrate. And I'm broken that we don't get to celebrate together this Lent today. But friends, I can't wait till the next time we get to break bread together as one family. It's going to be amazing. So at this point, what's going to happen is this. They're going to fade me out and we're going to sing together. Now, it's going to be something weird for some of us because we're going to be watching a computer screen and some songs going on. I want to encourage you. Some of you just might want to be quiet and read the lyrics as they're being sung and just enjoy the presence of God. He's with us and enjoys the presence of the Prince of Peace, Jesus. Some of you want to sing really loud in your home or your apartment where you're at right now. But just sing and just be present with God and know that we're all present together this morning in spirit. After this singing time, we'll have a missions moment. Something we've been doing in this time, this season, we're having missions moment. We're going to have it on this video, and then I'll come back and speak a blessing over you, okay? Let's pray, and then we'll sing together virtually. God, I thank you that you've not left us, but you're with us. And God, I pray for my friends and family around the city, around the world today. And we are not together in flesh, but we are together in spirit, by your Holy Spirit, as your body. God, I pray that we would have a peace of mind and a peace of heart, that we'd embrace the peace that you give the world cannot give. And God, I pray for my friends who are troubled, who are afraid, who are experiencing real struggles and poverty and oppression, who are impacted by this more than others. God, I pray that we would be the people of peace, the people of shalom, the people of righteousness, the people of justice, the bearers of good news, the bringers of good news, the hands and feet of good news. And God, ultimately, I pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Because I know in your kingdom there is perfect shalom. In the fullness of your kingdom, there's perfect peace. So come, Holy Spirit. I pray that you'd meet us all where we're at watching this video right now. You'd meet all of us where we're at. I pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Riverside Church. For more resources, visit riverside.church.